All right, welcome. We have some people here who came by invitation are in the room right now. Can we hear from you people? Okay, all right. And welcome to everybody who's watching online on Facebook Live. We're so glad that you're tuning in. The key question today, it's a two-parter. Who are you? Who are you, and what is your foundational spiritual philosophy? This question was actually posed to me a couple of weeks ago, and a little shout out to John Zeidler, if you're watching, which you often are. John is a friend of New Day, and he invited me to be on a podcast that he was doing with a couple of other people. He has a podcast called Freedom's Fortress, and he said, Pastor Aaron, would you be willing to be on there? And we want to talk about spiritual health. He didn't mention that the other two people who are going to be on the podcast are not Christians. And so he pulled me on as kind of a representative of a biblical worldview. And the podcast started with the question, so who are you and what is your foundational spiritual philosophy? And I thought, what am I going to say? How do you answer that question? And yet today is about being ready to answer that question. So we're going to go over some basics of a spiritual foundation, a biblical worldview, and answer to the question, who are you? So I'm glad you're here. If you're new here, if you're just checking out New Day for the first time, or you've been here for a while but haven't told us that you were here, there's going to be something that pops up in the chat area that says new to New Day. Just hit like on that. That would seriously be an encouragement to me to know that you're kind of becoming a part of the community, that you're checking things out. And also, if you've been a part of the community for a while and you know that it takes some resources to organize what we do here and the mission that we're accomplishing, then there's also going to be a link that comes up in the chat section to give a financial offering online. Some other opportunities that we have that I want to make sure you consider plugging into. If you are somebody who feels safe going out and doing something good, like the blood drive this Thursday, then we have in the chat section an opportunity for you to respond to that and to say, yeah, I am willing to give blood. It's going to be right here in this building, the blood drive this Thursday afternoon. So we've got room for you to come and donate blood. It's a need right now because so many places are closed that there aren't the blood drives happening in order to support the need. So we want to express love to our community by showing an openness to doing that. And also, if you're not able to do that, or you don't feel safe going out, or that might compromise you in some way, or you're disqualified from giving blood, there is another opportunity to give. One of the families that we served in Backyard Missions had a house fire shortly after Backyard Missions, and they have a GoFundMe page set up. And if you're saying, boy, I really like to give blood to help people, but I can't do that, here's a way that you can give something to help people, and anything you can give would be a blessing to them. So I want you to please consider that. So as we go into God's Word together this morning, let's pray. God, it is our desire right now to set aside what we have constructed from our own clever arguments, from our own minds, and instead to hear a word from you, to follow you as King. God, not our will, but yours be done today. Put in our minds and our hearts a picture of how we can apply what you're teaching us today, and let us walk in obedience this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so who are you and what is your fundamental, your foundational spiritual philosophy? So John, who invited me onto this podcast, we disagree on some things, but we do it respectfully. We respect each other, we love each other, and we do agree on the Lordship of Christ. So I was happy to go into this podcast. Going into it, Michelle was there and she was working. I forgot, was it with Isaiah? It was painting? Yeah, with our son Isaiah. They were painting. And she said, how long is this podcast going to take? And I said, oh, probably about an hour. 2 hours and 45 minutes later, it was emerging from my office. And like, well, is there any painting to do still? There was. We're still working on our house a lot. So I had this opportunity with these two other guys on the podcast to represent a biblical worldview. You're going to have that opportunity. Maybe some of you have had that opportunity where you work with someone or you have a friend group or you go to yoga or you go hiking or whatever, and you have an opportunity to represent Christ with people who don't know him as Lord. What are you going to do? How are you going to be ready? How would you answer the question if they were to ask you, who are you? And what is your fundamental spiritual philosophy? Peter followed Jesus. We've heard of Peter, the disciple, and then the apostle, the sent one who planted churches and who encouraged believers. And in a letter to believers who were coming under persecution, and we don't even know persecution as Christians in this country. These were people who were losing their homes, who were having everything taken from them, who were being unlawfully imprisoned. And Peter says to them, in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of what people are doing, don't repay evil for evil. Don't respond to people with the same level of force that they're using against you. Instead, you need to love them. You need to be a blessing to them. So when people persecute you, here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. And this is kind of our key text today. He says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. So put Jesus first. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. And the way Peter describes this, it's like somebody who is a follower of Christ should be oozing hope. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of difficulty, there should be opportunities for people to ask you about your hope because they see it oozing from you. He says, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. This is a challenge, right? Some people that we see, like in discussions online, for instance, some people are better at this than others, being gentle and respectful. And these are the instructions from Peter. People should see your hope, and they should experience from you gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. You ever known anybody who, it would be laughable if someone said, oh, that person, what a jerk. You know, I'm thinking about, people in this church who I know. I thought maybe we'd see Kathy and Norman here this morning. If you guys are tuning in, hello, we love you guys. Can you imagine somebody saying, like leaving the room after having a conversation with Kathy, if you know who she is, and just going, what a jerk. Where's she coming from? No, because she just oozes this joy and this love that she's never said a mean word to me or to anybody who I've ever seen. So if somebody were to walk away from her and go, what's her deal? Everybody else would go, what's your deal? She's awesome. That is, for me, an example of what Peter is talking about here. That we would be people who, if somebody said, oh, that jerk, everybody else would go, what are you talking about? What do you mean? So New Day, We're headed into our 15th year of being in this community, and we have purchased this building. It's kind of a statement that we're here. We're sticking around. We're no longer renting space in the middle school. We're investing in this community. And for that whole time and continuing forward, we have a basic philosophy, part of which is that the problems that plague our community, not just this community, but our whole world, those problems, when you start to boil them down, all are rooted in one basic problem. It's sin. It's corruption. It's a departure from God's plan. Now, there are laws that are good and they help keep us safe. There's education that helps us overcome some deficits in life. There are things that we can do in our culture to make our world better. But this problem of sin always stays at the root. And there are no laws that can be made to address the human heart. There is no education that can transform us from the inside out. God is in the business of that kind of heart surgery. And we, as a church, as a group of people, as believers, we are in the business of introducing people to that God who transforms human hearts because we have experienced it, because we carry around that hope. We see that there are spiritual realities that draw the human heart into pride, into shame, into greed, into envy, into fear, into hatred. Whether we're talking about war on the other side of the world or domestic violence on the other side of the street, the root is sin. Whether we're talking about corporate greed or a desire to keep up with the Joneses, we're talking about the same root. It's a corruption. It's sin in the human heart. So as we see God tearing some things down and building other things up right now, we need to learn from Him what is true about us and about the world that we live in. We need to be ready to explain who we are and what we believe. So I'm going to propose to you a way that I've heard a biblical worldview explained. And some of you have heard this before, and some of you are new to New Day since we went online. So this might be the first time that you've heard it. I think it's worth reviewing this kind of a basic foundational spiritual philosophy. So I'm going to work through it, and I'm going to, in the absence of having a bunch of graphics on the screen, I'm going to use my hands, and you're going to use your imagination. So, we're ready. I see we're ready to use our imaginations here in the room today. When you open your Bible and you start reading it, because the Bible is God's revelation to us about who He is and how He operates, when we open our Bible, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So, immediately we're introduced to a creator, a being with a will who is outside of nature because He created everything natural. Already we're establishing a foundation that's different from a lot of foundation. I mean, this is the kind of thing that really can't be taught in school, because once we start talking about something outside of nature, then we're talking about spiritual beliefs, then we're talking about religious decisions. So we can learn about the natural world in school. Somebody's got to step into that learning, having made the decision either A, this is what there is. Nature is the extent of existence. What we can measure and observe is the end of it. Or what we measure and observe is a testament to a creative, amazing, loving God. Now, there are things in between there. If we're to look at Scripture, though, we see here is a God who creates. He creates us, human beings, in His image. This is another foundational thing. Human beings are created in the image of God. That's powerful. And He gives us instructions. He says, be fruitful and multiply across the earth. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the animals. These sound like stronger words than we usually use. It basically is, this is yours to take care of. Get some stuff organized here. Do some amazing things. What always comes to my mind when I think about God saying that is he pours out Legos. I'm a Lego guy. Oh, but I just said Legos. Did you just catch that? Did you guys know the plural? Oh, yeah, we got some people in the... There, Legos is not a word. Just see, some of you online caught that, and we're going to type up some sort of a thing in the chat. No, the plural of Lego is Lego. Okay, so now we got that established. I don't need to receive any angry emails from people about... So, it's like God pours out a bunch of Lego and says, now, do something cool. I'm the creator, and I created you to be creative. Do something. I've given you everything you need. All the food, all the shelter, perfect weather, everything you need is here. Now do something cool. And as we learn more about who God is and what His instructions are, we read, for instance, Jesus, who is the visible image, the icon of the invisible God. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29, we read Jesus in reply to the question, what's the greatest command? He says, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. All right, foundational. One God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So as we look at those instructions, we see, so there is a God who is over all, and we are to love Him with all our heart and soul, our innermost parts, our heart and soul, our mind, that part of us that's conscious about things, that makes decisions. Our strength, our bodies, that interface that happens in the world, how we interact with the world, heart and soul, mind, strength. And if we were to do that, we would love our neighbor as an outflow of that. And if we were to do that, we would have a respectful dominion over the earth. We would operate things in a way according to the will of God, according to His design, according to His plan. And if we were to do that, then Satan, who we'll meet in a moment, would be left powerless in our lives. Satan, the one who tempts us to turn against God, who corrupts the world. And that's what we see. If we were to continue from in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created man and woman. In the image of God, He created them. And then He gives them the commands on what to do. And then we see that although they're told to have dominion over the beasts, there is a beast in the garden who tempts them, who tempts their pride, who tempts their quest for knowledge. Their temptation, instead of to honor God with their lives, they want to be equal with God. They don't want to submit to Him. So they're tempted. So rather than having obedience to God and dominion over this beast, they're obedient to the temptation of the beast in order to try to have dominion over God. They take the plan, they corrupt it, they turn it on its head. And that's where corruption enters the world, where the perfect plan gets broken, where sin enters in, and now there's a rebellion against God. And we can see that Satan, this adversary who has rebelled against God, created by God and yet given enough leeway to rebel against God. And we see the Apostle Paul explain a worldview this way in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked." He's talking about us. We were separated from God by sin. We were dead in our sins, following the course of this world. We're to have influence and dominion in the world. And what he's saying is sin has corrupted, and instead of being world changers, you're being world conformers. You're following the world rather than transforming the world for good. And then he continues, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's like a fancy, flowery way to say the devil, the adversary, Satan, the accuser. You're following the course of this world and you're following the tempter, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. What is our flesh? It's our body. It's our strength. So he's laying out this corrupted, this turned upside down plan, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So what's happening here is an upside down world where people, he's saying, you were obeying your appetites and resisting God. That's the opposite. Rather than obeying God and resisting your appetites, doing his will, rather than doing what the world would want you to do or what your appetites want you to do, it's been turned upside down. John chapter 12, verse 31, "The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out." Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. When corruption happened, it was utter. We are in a rebellious state. And then in 1 John chapter 5, we see the Apostle John explaining, "We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning." Now this, there's something beautiful happening here, because part of the answer to the question, who are you and what is your fundamental spiritual philosophy, part of it is who are you. And what John says here is, you're God's children. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. So who are you? If you are someone who has acknowledged, who has recognized that corruption and cried out to God and said, "I don't know what to do about this," and have heard his response, "I have already done it for you. Your sins are forgiven because the penalty for sin is death. And my Son, Jesus, took that penalty for you on the cross." If you're believing that and you're saying, "Okay, he is the Lord of my life. I want this upside down to be turned right side up." Then you are called children of God. Who are you? Children of God. What is your fundamental spiritual philosophy? Part of it is that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's Satan's design, that he would influence the world, that the world would put pressure on us, and that our thoughts would be about that pressure, that we would feel the temptations, that we would feel the anger, the jealousy, the lust, and that we would rationalize giving in to those things, that we would use our minds to justify our bodies, and then our heart and soul would define us by those things. Our identity would get wrapped up in how we follow our mind, our body, which is conformed to the world. That's Satan's design. And in that system, God, we give him no authority in our lives. He's left powerless in our lives. A biblical worldview tells us that we have a purpose for our lives, and it is a battle too. The battle happens in our minds and in our bodies. Some of you over this weekend took some time to fast. Fasting is an ancient practice. I did it starting at 9 a.m. yesterday and ending at 9 a.m. today. And what fasting does is it challenges us to take a literal appetite, an appetite for food, which of course is very natural, and yet to say to that appetite, you will not rule me today, and to let hunger drive us into prayer. When you feel that impulse to reach for something to eat, instead, pray for somebody, pray for a situation, call out to God for strength, and take that philosophy of letting our appetites rule us and turn it upside down and look to God. Fasting is something that some of us practice over this weekend, and I'm going to encourage us when fall comes, we're going to have a longer period of fasting because there are things that we need to be praying about. If we're not intentional about this, living in this reality and about fighting this battle, we will be conformed to the world. That's just the pressure that's on us. So I want you to think about, what does that look like for you? What are some of the ways that you have been conformed to the world that you realize, maybe God's putting it on your heart right now, that you realize, oh yeah, well that's not from God. How can I cry out to him to give me the strength to do a different path? Because you are, if you've put your faith in Jesus, you are children of God. And he has a plan for you. He has work, good works planned for you. As we looked at last week, Jesus has a plan that is perfectly fitted to you. So what are we doing in our lives right now that's a distraction from that plan, that's conforming to our appetites that are not coming from God, but that are putting pressure on us from the world? Reconstructing isn't going to be easy. It's hard. It's totally worth the pain. It is heart surgery that God does on us. So who are you, and what is your fundamental spiritual philosophy? He's given us a mission, and your role in that mission has already been determined by him. His plan is perfectly fitted to you. So who are you? Where does your hope come from? Are you ready to explain it? Let's pray. God, it is our desire to ultimately honor you with our lives, and yet we fall short in so many ways, so many times. You promise to be patient with us. You promise to guide and lead us. Search us, O God. Know our hearts. Test us. See if there's any anxious way in us. See if there's any way that offends you, and God, lead us on the path of everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad you were here today. We're going to continue this experiment of having people in the room. Who knows? Maybe you're going to get an invitation coming up in the next couple of weeks. So stick around, be part of the blood drive coming up, or make a donation to that family in need. And I will, God willing, see you very soon. Go in peace.